I'm William Cooper, and you're listening to the early edition of the Hour of the Time. The Hour of the Time will be coming to you at this time, Monday through Friday nights, at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 6 p.m. Mountain, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the next 6 to 8 weeks. And also, for those of you who can't get home on time to hear this edition of the Hour of the Time, will be also broadcast at 9 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Mountain, 11 p.m. Central Standard Time, and midnight Eastern Standard Time, Monday through Friday. In other words, folks, you're going to hear the Hour of the Time, at least for the next 6 to 8 weeks, twice a day, once during this time slot, and once again during our later time slot. The programming will not be the same. That's right, folks. The programming will not be the same. So if you think you can miss one of those two broadcasts and not miss anything, you're wrong. Before I get into the meat of tonight's programming, I want to tell you about the little town where I live. Most of you won't believe what you're going to hear. It is a scene right off of a Christmas card. Where I reside in the great state of Arizona, in the mountainous region of Arizona. This is not desert, ladies and gentlemen. This is beautiful forest. Great herds of elk, deer, and antelope populate the landscape. There are several Indian reservations surrounding us where we go and learn about the real history of this country. This is probably the last city in the United States of America that actually has a real Christmas manger scene with, that's right, folks, baby Jesus in the manger on the lawn of the city hall and the police station. And nobody here ever heard of the ACLU, except me and maybe a few other people who are mixed up in worldly affairs, trying to prevent what's coming. People decorate their homes, beautiful Christmas lights. In fact, there are manger scenes all over town. Santa Claus and sleighs with reindeer on the roofs. And there's a contest to see who has furnished all of us with the most pleasing decorations every Christmas. There's a Christmas parade, ladies and gentlemen. And in the evening, you can see the cars moving slowly along the streets, just driving and watching and looking. You can go anywhere on our streets at any time of day, 2 o'clock in the afternoon or 2 o'clock in the morning, without fear of being accosted, beat up, shot at, spit on. No one calls anyone else names. If you're in trouble, your neighbors will come to your aid in a heartbeat. Everyone here understands the meaning of the Second Article Amendment to the Constitution, and everybody owns at least one weapon. Most people own several. they supplement their larder, their food, with wild game during hunting season. And there's not one single man that I know in this small town who would not take up his weapon and go immediately in defense of the nation or the Constitution and the Bill of Rights of the United States of America. I know that most of you out there listening to this broadcast, unless you lived in a small town like this in your youth, don't even have the slightest idea what I'm talking about. But I hope that someday you can. For this is what America used to be, and what America should be. There are no criminals here. And probably never will be. Don't go away. I'll be right back.
One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands. One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. The Pledge of Allegiance to the flag and the pledge to the ideals of our forefathers, the men who fought and died in the building of this great nation. It's a pledge to fulfill our duties and obligations as citizens of the United States, and to uphold the principles of our Constitution. And last but not least, it's a pledge to maintain the fourth-rate freedom cherished by all Americans. Freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom from want, and freedom from fear. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States.
I forgot to tell you folks that there's about an inch of snow on the ground. It's beautiful here. The smoke is curling up lazily from the chimneys. Almost everyone has a fireplace, a wood fire. Most people have a wood stove, and some people even use that wood stove for cooking. I know that some of you are shaking your head in utter disbelief, but it's true. I am so lucky to be able to live here in this little town and in the greatest nation that's ever existed on the face of this earth, the United States of America. Have you ever wondered why gold and silver emerged as the two favorite commodities, trading as money? Why are gold and silver the money tool? It's because gold and silver, folks, are intrinsically valuable. They're scarce and difficult to mine. Divisible, homogeneous, impossible to artificially produce, non-perishable, durable, easily fashioned into convenient coin and desirable for industrial uses, such as dentistry, jewelry, electronics, photography, chemistry, etc. Their value by weight is neither too concentrated as rare gems nor too diluted as iron. Silver operates neatly as a second tier for small trades, while gold has a more concentrated value for larger trades. And one last reason, gold and silver feel like money. Don't believe it? Pick up a real gold or a real silver coin and feel it. Rub your fingers over it. They feel like money more than any other commodity. Subjectively, people sense that gold and silver are money. And that's important. Nothing else has the allure of gold and silver. Until ocean mining becomes economically competitive, a very remote prospect indeed, gold and silver will rule the money mountain well into the future, way beyond anyone's lifetime who is listening to this program, I can assure you. Government, ladies and gentlemen, cannot choose a society's money. Only free traders can resolve that question. Carl Menger once said, "Money is not an invention of the state. It is not the product of a legislative act. The sanction of political authority is not necessary for its existence." Certain commodities came to be money quite naturally as the result of economic relationships independent of the power of the state. The brilliant Austrian economist Ludwig von Mises proved through his regression theorem that money must first be a freely traded commodity. To solve the baffling question of how a money came to be worth a certain unit price, Mises worked backwards. The value of money on its first day of use as money must logically stem from its consumption value on the previous day. That, you have to understand, is absolutely necessary. Money must be a commodity. And it depends upon its value on the previous day when it was not money as to what its value will be today as money. And how does something have consumption value? Ladies and gentlemen, simply by having intrinsic value, by being a commodity. So unless a money was a commodity at one time used by the free market and individuals decided to start using it as money, there is no way for a money price to be conferred arbitrarily. No government can do it. You see, the solution to making money work as a unit of account, a price, lies, as Mises showed, within the coordinating process of the free market. This insight proves devastating for any dictator or band of elites trying to impose a new currency. When the transition from a barter to a money economy took place, the previous markets and commodity exchange ratios were not suddenly wiped out. The preferences individuals had made known were transferred to the new kind of economy, and money was used as a vehicle. It's a complex process to change from one sort of exchange regime to a new one, and no government authorities, no matter how wise, can ever replicate it. You see, money is not wealth, folks. You'd better understand that money is not wealth. Money buys wealth. People accept gold because they can trade or spend it later. Comparatively little gold is actually consumed by industry. Gold money is traded, and that's what it's for. On this point, the miser Scrooge McDuck has transposed the means with the end. Although gold money indeed has intrinsic worth, its main value is exchangeability. The miser deceives himself that by having a pile of gold, he is rich. But can he eat, wear, or can he live in his gold? Of course not. Unless the miser trades some of his gold for food, clothes, and shelter, he will die. That's how the infamous miser Hetty Green lived and died in abject squalor despite her $100 million estate. You see, being broke is a state of finances, but being poor is truly a state of mind. The miser is an illiterate fool collecting books. Money, ladies and gentlemen, is a tool. And like any tool, if money is not used, one might as well not even have it. Clearly, money is meant to be traded or spent, not hoarded in a mattress. Wealth is not money. Wealth is bought with money. Wealth is things and profit-generating assets and comfort and food on the table and a roof over your head in the winter. Mitchell Innes said, "The eye hath never seen nor the hand touched a dollar." And in case you're wondering, I'm reviewing just a little bit of the last program that you heard, the hour, the time, in this time slot, so that you remember and have a basis of the continuity of the rest of the show. If gold and silver are money, folks, then what is a dollar? That's right, a dollar. Take out your wallet, look in it, pull out that thing that you have there, that piece of paper that says $1. You see, a dollar is not a thing. It measures a thing. The term dollar is an adjective, not a noun. According to law, a dollar is a unit of weight, like pounds or tons, which specifies a certain quantity of gold or silver money. Murray N. Rothbard, in What Has Government Done to Our Money, makes this statement. The dollar began as the generally applied name of an ounce weight of silver coined by a Bohemian court or count named Schlick in the 16th century. The Count of Schlick lived in Joachim's Valley or Joachimsthal. The count's coins earned a great reputation for their uniformity and fineness, and they were widely called Joachim's Thalers. The name dollar eventually emerged from Thaler. Now, as gold and silver had emerged as the reigning monies, the founding fathers declared that only gold and silver coin can be money in America, and gave the Congress power, quote, to coin money, regulate the value thereof, unquote. United States Constitution, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 5. In the 1784 debate concerning the nation's dollar unit of money, Thomas Jefferson said, quote, "If we determine that a dollar shall be our unit, we must then say with precision exactly what a dollar is," unquote. With this in mind, Congress wrote the 1792 Coinage Act, amended in 1900 and still in effect today. Now let me say that again, folks. It is still in effect today. Listen carefully. It officially defines the dollar. Just as an inch is 1/12 of a foot, or a quart is 1/4 of a gallon, a dollar is 1/20 of an ounce of gold, 10/11 fine. Also included in that act was the provision that anybody convicted of debasing or diluting the gold content of the dollar would be put to death. Put to death. Did you hear that, Alan Greenspan? This harsh penalty was a reflection of how strongly the people felt about the previous painful episode of the worthless inflationary continental currency, which none of you even know about, much less remember. A $20 gold coin contains one full ounce, or 20/20 of an ounce of gold. Dollars aren't money. Dollars are the denomination of money. Similarly, the English pound was, until 1914, a pound of sterling, or 90% fine silver. When you hear dollar, always think dollar weight. Money equals gold or silver coin, 10/11 fine, denominated in and expressed by dollars. A dollar equals 1/20 of an ounce, or 25.8 grains of gold money, or 16/20 of an ounce, are 412.5 grains of silver money by law. Now look again at that silly piece of paper that you're holding in your hand. Sheeple. You silly, silly sheeple. Now what are you going to do about it? My guess is probably nothing. You'll make a note that this was an interesting program. You'll go to bed tomorrow. You'll get up You'll go to bed tonight. Maybe some of you will go to bed tomorrow. But when you get up, you'll go about your business as always, and you'll do nothing. We've been robbed. Our nation has been taken, stolen right out from under us. Most of you are not even smart enough to even know it. Now take that dollar you're holding in your hand, and if you're lucky enough to have a $100 bill, lay them both out side by side and tell me, if you can, the difference between the two. What makes one worth $100 and the other one worth just $1? Oh, sheeple, I feel so sorry for you that you bought into the scam. And because you bought into it, you're contributing to the destruction of your own nation, your own family, your own safety and security, and all of the assets that you've accumulated all your life will eventually decrease until you have nothing, simply because of this sham, this lie that you bought into and continue to perpetuate because of your ignorance, apathy, and stupidity. Gold and silver coin is the constitutional money of account. Dollars are the legal unit of account. The term dollar can never stand on its own. It always refers to a certain weight of gold or silver coin money. Money is gold and silver coin only. And it is denominated in dollars. Until the Constitution and the 1900 Coinage Act has been amended, these two words cannot legally refer to anything else. And those two pieces of paper you're holding in your hand are counterfeit fiat evidence of the greatest heist in the history of the world. The greatest crime that has ever been committed against a nation or its people. But this crime could not have been committed without the sheeple, I can assure you. It is also important to understand that money does not measure price or value. Money merely expresses price and value in terms of dollar weights of gold and silver coin. When something costs $100, that merely means it is worth 5 gold ounces in trade. Prices, you see, are actually exchange ratios. To coin money, and that term comes directly out of the Constitution, which I know most of you have never read. Some of you have. To coin money means exactly that. To mint gold and silver money into coins. To coin money does not mean to change to another kind of money. It only means to mint gold and silver in whatever design, shape, or fashion of coin Congress chooses. For example, had Congress so desired, we could have had 5-ounce or $100 square gold coins featuring wildlife scenes. On coins larger than a nickel, there are fine ridges around the edge. These ridges are called milling marks and were originally milled on gold and silver coins to prevent the shaving of their precious metal from the edge. As long as the milling marks were intact, one knew that the coin had its full weight in gold or silver. Most of you never understood that. You thought it was for decoration or just to make the coin a little bit more attractive. Gold or silver coin, folks, is awkward for large transactions and is worn thin by daily human handling. So these precious metals were stored in a warehouse or bank, and a receipt was issued, much like a baggage claim check. Instead of trading gold coins, people traded their claim checks as a money substitute for carrying large bags of gold around. In those days, it could be extremely dangerous. These coupons, or this coupon receipt, became current as money. Current as money, or currency. Paper currency is paper receipts or coupons which substitute as and are, and this is the most important, redeemable for dollar weights of warehoused gold or silver money. Now take those two pieces of paper you're holding in your hand, the $1 piece of paper and the $100 piece of paper, both the same size, down to your local Federal Reserve Bank, and ask them to fulfill its purpose and exchange it or redeem it for dollar weights of warehouse gold or silver coin money, and watch them laugh in your face. Redeemable currency must have an unconditional promise to pay a certain dollar weight of gold or silver coin money. This promise is called a note or a certificate. For a note to be legal, it must specify exactly what is to be paid, where it is to be paid, when, and to whom. The original dollar notes stated they would be redeemed in gold or silver at any U.S. Treasury on demand to the bearer. Now look at the fiat counterfeit scrap of worthless junk money that you have in your hand. Does it say any of those things? A United States silver certificate said this. At the top it said silver certificate. Just beneath it, it said, this certifies that there is on deposit in the Treasury of the United States of America $1 in silver payable to the bearer on demand. And in fact, fulfilled the definition of currency. The 1970 National Gold Banknotes pictured a beautiful collage of gold coins on the reverse of the $5 and $10 bills. Everybody understood that the paper bills were merely coupons for real money, gold coins. Currency and gold or silver coinage divided the duties of money. While gold and silver coinage continued to be the storehouse of value, they were displaced by paper currency as the primary medium of exchange. Gold and silver coin remained a strong secondary medium of exchange and, in fact, provided the real worth of the currency and the economy of the nation. Currency is not money. But is paper currency actually money itself? Of course not. Although currency exchanges as a money substitute, currency is not and never can be a storehouse of intrinsic value, the first requirement of money. Since small scraps of paper are inherently worthless as a trading commodity, paper currency has no intrinsic value. The only value paper currency can have is in its promised redemption for actual gold or silver money. Just like a check, paper currency is only as good as its promise. Remove the promise from paper currency and paper currency becomes worthless altogether. Never forget that. And that is the basis of my prediction that we are on cue for a fall. There will be, eventually, in this nation and around the world, a total and complete economic collapse. Because the paper currency that you now use, which is not really currency at all, but is fiat or counterfeit money, which means something that is worthless substituting as real worth money, which is gold and silver coin, which cannot even be exchanged at a bank or the United States Treasury for real money, gold and silver coin. Most of what you believe exists as money in this country does not exist at all. If everyone were to attempt to lay their hands on enough currency to pay off their debts, the economy would collapse instantly because the currency does not exist. You see, they have been slowly withdrawing currency from the nation, and they've been issuing credit, folks, In other words, bookkeeping entries. They've been creating money out of thin air, loaning it to you, which you have to pay back, which never existed, plus the interest, which was never created to start with. All this bunk about paying off the national debt is absolute, pure, unadulterated bullshit. It cannot, will not, ever happen. The money, ladies and gentlemen, does not exist. To create the money out of thin air to pay off the national debt, or the deficit, would mean they would have to print so much money that rampant inflation would occur around the world, and it would cost you $10,000 literally within a few days for a loaf of bread. Don't go away. I'll be right back after this short pause. Ladies and gentlemen, when I first began broadcasting the Hour of the Time on May the 4th, 1992, I had no sponsor. I didn't really know how long this broadcast would last. And I really didn't want any sponsor that I couldn't believe in. You see, because I'm not like anyone else. I won't pimp for some company just because they pay me money. And in fact, I won't even accept money from a company. Period. That's how much I believe in the Hour of the Time. I believe in it so much that I cannot allow anything to tarnish this broadcast or any suggestion that would detract from the quality of the information that you hear on the Hour of the Time. It took over a year for me to find a company that I could believe in and become a partner with in bringing the Hour of the Time to the people of the world. That company is Swiss America Trading. You see, several people, in fact, many people and many companies over that year attempted to become the sponsor of this program. Now, I did allow the Pilot Connection to sponsor several episodes of the Hour of the Time, but they were not a regular sponsor, nor did I want them as a regular sponsor. And also, I allowed Backwoods Home Magazine to sponsor several episodes of this program because that's my favorite magazine and I believe in it. It teaches people how to be self-sufficient and responsible. And Dave Duffy, the editor and publisher, is my friend. He's an honest, good man. And he gave the listeners to this broadcast $2 off the regular subscription price. And that was a good deal, because the regular subscription price is way less than what that magazine is worth. But it wasn't until Swiss America Trading came along that I allowed a full-time sponsor for the Hour of the Time, because I understand money. We thoroughly investigated Swiss America Trading. We found that they are one of the very few in this whole country that has a buyback policy that discloses every single clause, condition, and condition of any contract that you enter into them with, not only once but several times, and before delivery is made, it is tape recorded so that there is no question that you understand exactly what's happening. In our investigation, we found that they've never cheated anyone. They have bent over backwards to make sure that all of their customers have been happy and satisfied, and most of their customers deal with them for many, many years. They've been especially kind to the listeners of the Hour of the Time. And I've made it known to them and to my listeners that if there's ever any hint of wrongdoing or illegal transactions on their part, that they will not be the sponsor of this show from that date forward, and I would reveal exactly what happened to my listening audience. But there's no fear of that ever happening, because I've come to be good friends with Craig Smith, the owner and president of Swiss America Trading, and Gene Miller, and several other of the people who work there. Most of their competition started out working for Swiss America Trading. And as soon as Craig Smith had taught them what they thought was all there was to know, they left and started their own companies in competition with Swiss America Trading. And while Swiss America Trading plays fair and conducts good, honest, legal business, the others do not. They do not have a buyback policy. And they practice slander and libel against the company and the man who taught them the business. I'm not going to mention the names of those companies. If you're smart, and if you're responsible, and if you shop around, and if you ask the right questions, you will soon discover that Swiss America Trading is probably the only company that deals in precious metals that you really should be dealing with. Call them. Mention my name, William Cooper. Ask them for all the free information and newsletters that you're entitled to as listeners to the Hour of the Time. Thank them for sponsoring this program. And remember, I do not take one single penny from Swiss America Trading. They pay for the airtime. Their money goes directly to the radio station. Not one single cent goes in my pocket. I have never received anything from Swiss America Trading. Ever at all. I recommend them wholeheartedly. I can assure you that they will treat you right, fairly, correctly. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to give you this word of caution. Precious metals is an investment that you should make to protect your assets, not in the hopes of making a killing or making a profit. And the reason that I recommend them is because I know this. If everyone in America would turn in their worthless, fiat, counterfeit Federal Reserve notes tomorrow morning for gold and silver coin and accept nothing in their business or in their work or for their work but gold or silver coin, the encroaching New World Order would collapse. Those behind it, financing it, and pushing it, would become bankrupt literally overnight. Our nation would once again prosper, and it would have nothing to do with banks. You don't understand, folks. You don't need the banks to make this work. All you have to do is find someone willing to sell you gold and silver coin, convince all of your neighbors to do likewise, and you will see prosperity rise up again in this nation like it existed over all of the years during which our founding fathers and our ancestors and our great-grandfathers and our grandfathers and our fathers made this the greatest nation existing upon the face of this earth. You see, it's within our generation that it is being destroyed, and it's being destroyed by the debasement and the counterfeiting of our coins and currency. Call Swiss America Trading right now. Take what you have, invest it in the only thing throughout the history of the world that has ever protected anyone's worth, anyone's assets, and is the root of wealth. It is real money, precious metals in its various forms. 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-289-2646. Four, six. Do it now. If you can't look your loved ones in the face right now and tell them that you have protected your assets against what's coming, against the continuing devaluation of the dollar, against the sure inflation that's right around the corner, then you need to call Swiss America Trading right this moment. Do it now. Don't procrastinate. You know how you are, and so do I. Call now, 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-289-2646. You'll be glad that you did. Currency, ladies and gentlemen, derives its value from gold or silver money. As legal claim checks, currency has merely promissory value. And promissory value is not the same as intrinsic value. Remember that. It's not the same. Just as a corporation is an artificial person, promissory value is artificial value. Promissory value depends on lawyers, unassailable contracts, and the equity courts. Intrinsic value does not protect you from all of that. Money, which is gold and silver coin, has intrinsic or real value. A money substitute, paper currency, has only derivative subordinate value and only has that value as long as you are able to exchange it for real gold or silver coin in weights of dollar denominations. Do you understand, ladies and gentlemen? Paper currency can be exchanged as money. Paper currency can be redeemed for money. But paper currency can never be money. And Federal Reserve notes are not money. Cannot be exchanged for money, cannot be redeemed for money, and is absolutely worthless. There is money, and there are money substitutes. The two are not the same. If money talks, currency barely whispers, and no one has ever heard the Federal Reserve note at all. Quote, neither paper currency nor deposits have value as commodities. Intrinsically, a dollar bill today is just a piece of paper. Deposits are merely book entries, unquote. And that's from Modern Money Mechanics Workbook from the Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago, June 1975. You see, the bankers understand this. They're able to rob you and steal from all of us, the entire nation, in fact. Because you don't know that. Only gold or silver money can be coined. Only paper currency can be printed. Congress cannot legally print currency. According to the Constitution, they can only coin money. Our founding fathers understood currency well. After the worthless Continentals issued during the Revolutionary War, our government was never again to be trusted with currency powers. Though most people do not know this, Congress was never authorized by our Constitution to ever issue currency. Untax author Irwin Schiff explains, quote, the United States Constitution never gave the federal government any authority whatsoever to issue currency of any kind. The Constitution gives to the federal government certain powers over money while denying certain monetary powers to the states. But currency is not money, and the granting power to the federal government over money is not the granting of power to the federal government over currency.
Currency is a money substitute, and the Constitution leaves to the private sector the right to create and handle its own money substitutes. The Constitution in Article 1, Section 8, gave the federal government the power to coin money, regulate the value thereof, and of foreign coin. There is nothing in that section giving the federal government the power to issue paper currency of any kind. As a matter of fact, dear sheeple, such power was contained in the first two drafts of the Constitution, but was specifically eliminated from the final draft. The Constitution obviously did not have to deny currency powers to the federal government, since the function of the Constitution with respect to the federal government was not to deny it power, but to grant it power. And powers not granted are automatically denied. Some states had at various times made other forms of money, in effect, wampum, furs, and tobacco, legal tender. But the Constitution established that states could not make these commodities legal tender. Article 1, Section 10 clearly established that henceforth only gold and silver coin could be the lawful money of the United States, since it was the only type of money allowed by the Constitution as legal tender. Since the federal government was never given the power to make anything legal tender, the only thing that can be legal tender under the Constitution is gold and silver. The Founding Fathers never intended for Congress to have the power to issue any money substitute, especially paper currency. You see, one cannot coin paper. Congress only had a non-exclusive option to mint gold and silver money into coin form. Quote, to coin money, unquote, does not mean to create money substitutes or currency or change what the Constitution said was lawful money or gold or silver coin. Robert Ringer, in Restoring the American Dream, said this, quote, to coin money was one of the earliest indications of how men of power would operate under the experimental democracy set up by our founding fathers. In effect, they would achieve control gradually over long periods of time. The rugged colonial individualists were too independent to have tolerated abrupt tyranny. So, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 5 was a subtle way of opening the door for the new government's entrance into the money business, a seemingly harmless act. This first allowed government only to compete with other mentors and warehouses. Unquote. What you've just learned, folks, is that lawful money is gold or silver coin denominated in dollar weights, the unit of account. This dollar-weighted gold or silver coin is the money of account. Congress only has the constitutional option to mint this lawful money into coin form, not change to different money or create money substitutes, which is currency. The states cannot accept anything as payment of debts but lawful money. U.S. Constitution, Article 1, Section 10. Paragraph 5. The private sector can create, print, and trade amongst itself whatever money substitute or gold and silver-backed currency it desires. If you continue to listen to the hour of the time, your eyes will eventually be opened. You will find that you're being lied to not only by your government, but by your preachers and your teachers and your parents and your so-called patriotic leaders, who, for the most part, don't have the slightest clue about what they're talking about. And that's not a blanket statement. There are some good people out there, but not too many. As you can readily find out just by going in your bathroom and looking in the mirror, sheeple. You see, no one could take this country away from us if we were doing our job, if we were responsible, if we never stopped learning, if we understood what the Constitution and the Bill of Rights really are and what they really say and what they really mean. Most of you do not even have a copy of the Constitution or the Bill of Rights in your home. Most of you have never read the Declaration of Independence unless it was in school and then you didn't want to read it and didn't pay much attention to it because it was a chore. And I'm going to tell you now, if you do not have a copy of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and the Declaration of Independence in your home, if you do not teach them to your children, you are not an American, never were, and probably never will be. You are not, and never have been, a part of the solution. You are the problem. You are ignorant, apathetic, and stupid for the most part. And when those who are bringing about the New World Order make this statement, quote, "A nation or world of people who will not use their intelligence are no better than animals who do not have intelligence. Such people are beasts of burden and stakes on the table by choice and consent," unquote. They are 100% correct. They are right. Stop looking around and blaming everyone else and everything else for the condition that this nation is in. For the blame rests solely and entirely and completely in your lap. Each and every single American is responsible. And don't think I'm shucking my portion of the blame, ladies and gentlemen. For most of my life, I was just as apathetic and ignorant, as stupid as the rest of you. The difference between you and I is I did go into the bathroom and look into the mirror and confront it. I admitted that I had been stupid for most of my life, and I decided right then and there not to be stupid anymore. And not only just for my life, but I set out on a campaign to try to wake the rest of you and to educate not just this country, but the world. For ladies and gentlemen, when the Constitution of the United States of America and the Bill of Rights were written and accepted as the supreme law of this land, it created for the first time in the history of the world a people who stood as sovereign kings and queens in their own right. And it created a government which for the first time in the history of the world became their chattel servant. It created a situation which acknowledged a creator and made the statement that the Creator endowed mankind with certain unalienable rights. Mankind organized for its mutual benefit and protection a government which it granted certain rights, and the rights not granted to the government were reserved for the people. A government of, for, and by the people. The people were to be the watchdogs of this government so that it could never get out of control, and so a despot could never rise to power and oppress the people. Most of you have either forgotten those principles and ideals or never knew them in the first place. It is our generation that is forsaking this nation and throwing it into the trash can. And if we allow it to happen, we will once again become the property of the government. The king, the emir, the sultan, the emperor, the empire, the government. And the pinnacle that man had achieved throughout the history of the world will be lost. And it is our fault. You see, if you build a building and set up a business and stock the shelves and fill the cash register full of money and then walk out the door and leave the windows and the door open and the cash drawer open and no one there to guard the store, you cannot blame the thief. God helps those who help themselves. For those of you sitting back, making the statement that you don't have to get involved in worldly things, for you're going to be raptured, you are fools. You will live to see your children picked up by their heels and their heads bashed against the wall if you do not change what is coming. Socialism sucks. Good night, and God bless you all.
Tomorrow all the things were gone, worked for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, but the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. Proud to be an American, wearing these signs over and free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that fight to me. And I'm glad to stand up next to you and it next hurt you today. But there ain't no doubt I love this man. God bless the USA.
Ladies and gentlemen, don't forget to stay tuned for the Hour of the Time later this evening, 9 p.m. Pacific, 10 Mountain, 11 Central, and midnight Eastern Standard Time.